Loan subject to status and only available to homeowners. A fee may be charged. Written quotes available.
Credit card. Overdraft.
In minutes, Compass Finance could change your life. Compass Finance. Call 07000 333 34.
On LBC, 11:52 a.m. Sunday with Giles Brandreth.
We're celebrating five of the United Kingdom's most distinguished authors. A little later in the program, we are going to the Royal Academy of Arts to meet the president of the Royal Academy, a latter-day Sir Joshua Reynolds. He's the sculptor Philip King. And after that, well, we've got, high art and low sex after 6 o'clock, the usual mixture. Immediately, though, I turn to Philip Jolovitz. Am I saying it right?
Yes.
Is it a bore having a funny name, surname?
No, not really. No.
Except every time you meet everybody, everyone always asks, you have to go through this. It must have taken up days, months of your life.
I just allow the different pronunciations, and then if I carry on knowing somebody, then at some point the right pronunciation comes through, and we go off from there. Or indeed, they really get to know me and call me by my first name. Which is slightly easier.
You have a problem, though, given that you want to sell your book. And the problem is this. Diana Preston very skillfully sold her book because all she has to say is Lusitania. We already, by flashing this review around, she's made us say that it's been acclaimed. Now, all anybody needs to know, to go into the bookshop, they say, Diana Preston's easy name for Lusitania, and the book will be produced. Victor Pemberton, very easy name. He's told us it's a saga about the Second World War. There's obviously a series of them. That's all you really need. Victor Pemberton, one of his Second World War books. Very easy. Tomorrow morning, they go into the bookshop. It was a difficult name.
Well, given the plug, I suppose what I could do is just repeat the name for the next 10 minutes. That'd be terribly annoying. Funnily enough, when this process started for me, because this is my first book, we did actually discuss whether I should have another name, something like Smith or. That's something that trips off the tongue nicely.
Philip Grisham, Walls of Silence by Philip Grisham. With the Philip spelled very small.
But in the end, we decided this was a different name. And that in the end, if people liked the book and the word spread around, then the name would get there and the name would stay. It may not be pronounced correctly. Somebody may go into a shop and say, well, I'd like a copy of the latest Philip Zimmerlich. And they would say, you mean Walls of Silence 2 or something like that. But as long as the message was broadly got over, I mean, there are some, I'm just trying to think of some, there's Lufton Bader, isn't there? I mean, that's a great name. There's an author called...
Yeah. There's also Edgar Allan Poe and Arthur Conan Doyle. These are names that may be long, but they're simple. I'm just saying you've got a bit of a challenge ahead of you. You know, this is the problem that...
Well, it's my name, I have to live with it. So, and I'm happy to do so.
Yes, quite right. Right. Our names, just check out with the psychologist here. Are our names relevant to us? I mean...
Well, I don't know about any psychological studies of that, but as a person who was teased continually for having the name Dylan because of Dylan the Rabbit when I was growing up on the Magic Roundabout, I fully support Philip's decision to go with his name and stick to it.
Well done.
Thank you.
Philip Jolovitz is a name to conjure with, and I've heard that the Walls of Silence is a book to reckon with. What's it about, Philip?
Well, it's a thriller. I suppose it would fall into the category of legal or financial thriller. Its hero is a young lawyer who is an English lawyer who lives in New York and works for an English law firm that's about to merge with a very large U.S. counterpart across the way in New York. And then catastrophe befalls him. And really the story is about what happens to Finn Border after a disastrous morning on the FDR Drive, which is the main motorway that runs down the east side of Manhattan, what it all means for his life and why it takes him to Bombay. Bombay, and then back from Bombay to New York again, and the wilds of Long Island. And it's a story that involves international banks and international law firms, and is pure fiction, but is drawn from the background of my own existence for the last 17 years, where I was both a lawyer in investment banks, and also for a short time an investment banker as well. And so I've really drawn from that reservoir of experience to produce Walls of Silence.
I'm going to discover after the 5 o'clock news whether this has been so successful that it's enabled you to give up your day job, and who is going to be starring in the movie. In fact, what's one of the games we're going to play after 5 o'clock is I want you all to tell me who you would have playing yourselves in the movies of your lives. Okay. We're also going to discover from Victor Pemberton about his life with Stan Laurel. The Secrets of Our Souls are going to be unveiled by Dylan Evans. Jonathan Meads is going to eat for us. Diana Preston is going to just be the brilliant person that she is. That's what it means. I'm just giving your life plan salute. Yeah, but isn't that a nice thing to say? And actually, the other thing I have to say is coming up to 5 o'clock and time for the LBC News.
I used to have real money worries, trying desperately to stretch my income across various loans, bills, credit cards and store cards. Then someone told me about the Independent Finance Debt Buster Loan. If you're a homeowner like me, you can borrow anything from £3,000 to £50,000 and consolidate all your bills into one single affordable loan. The Debt Buster Loan was a great idea. I got on top of my debt and even managed to raise enough cash for a new car.
At Independent Finance, we're not tied to any bank or building society. We're an independent broker, so we're able to find the right loan for you. Sort out your finances. Call free on 08000 320 456 today. 08000 320 456. Loan secured on property. Written quotations available on request from Independent Finance Corporation Limited.
24 hours a day, across London and the Southeast. This is the Voice of London. LBC.
O'clock. I'm Claire Jenkins. George W. Bush has reiterated his call for Pakistani President Pervez Musharraf to control militant action in Kashmir. The situation in the disputed regions reached boiling point, and the country's on the brink of war with India. Pakistan's been carrying out more missile tests, but the U.S. President isn't concerned about that.
I'm more concerned about making sure that President Musharraf show results in terms of stopping people from crossing the line of control, stopping terrorism. That's what's more important than the missile testing, is that he perform.
Four of China Airlines planes have been grounded following yesterday's crash in which more than 200 people were killed. The jet broke into four pieces in midair before crashing into the water off the coast of Taiwan. Transport Secretary Stephen Byers says he won't punish motorists in order to cut congestion. His comments come as MPs savaged the government's 10-year transport plan, saying it fails in almost every aspect of the program. Mr. Byers has brushed aside the criticism of the Transport Committee, saying it's mistaken and wrong. But Shadow Transport Secretary Theresa May says the committee's findings are bad news for the government.
The fact that this damning indictment, an absolutely scathing attack, has come from a Labour-dominated select committee, I think just shows how bad it's got with Stephen Byers presiding over transport policy.
Five firefighters have been hurt when their engine crashed on a 999 call. They were on their way to a road accident not far from Bath when the vehicle hit a tree. The fire engine was very badly damaged and all five men are being treated in hospital. Tourists are beginning to come back to the UK, but the numbers are still well down on the period before the foot and mouth outbreak. New figures show visitor levels are still 24% lower than 2 years ago. And David Coulthard's claimed his first Grand Prix victory of the season. The Scot beat world champion Michael Schumacher into second place in Monaco. It's the first time this season neither of the Schumacher brothers has taken the checkered flag. Independent Radio News.
Let me give you now the latest LBC weather. It's brought to us in association with Joint Ace Capsules. Overnight, some scattered showers, well, and a few drier, clearer periods as well. Winds staying moderate and southwesterly tonight's minimum temperature, 10 degrees Celsius, that's about 50 Fahrenheit.
LBC weather with Joint Ace Capsules, the power of glucosamine and more for joints on the go.
LBC, 11:52 a.m., Sunday, with Giles Brandreth.
In 20 minutes from now, I am nipping out of 200 Grayson Road, rushing up the road to Piccadilly, where I'm going to be having an encounter with the president of the Royal Academy, Philip King, R.A., who this week entertained Her Majesty the Queen. And he's going to be telling us all about her and all about himself as he joins me on the Stairway to Heaven. Right now in the studio, I have a quintet of distinguished authors. Diana Preston, who's written a remarkable book about the sinking of the Lusitania. All the newspapers are acclaiming it as a contemporary classic. Gets a particular rave today from The Independent on Sunday. Diana Preston, who do you have playing you in a movie?
Ooh, I don't know if anybody ever wants to make a film about a woman who spends her life at the word processor.
Oh,
and also has every day is a bad hair day for me, so I think a Muppet-type creature would probably be the best.
Well, that's a very sweet answer. She is indeed an extraordinary cross between Julia Roberts and Miss Piggy. An irresistible combination. Now, Victor Pemberton, who has this wonderful series about the Second World War, stories that are moving, touching, real, go to the heart, and yet... what's the latest one called?
A Perfect Stranger.
A Perfect Stranger. You knew Stan Laurel.
Yes, it was an encounter with him, and it became a correspondence that we had. Mm. It's quite a sweet story, actually, how I met him.
How did you meet him?
And it was, I took some, years ago, on his, the second stage tour that Stan and Ollie did in this country, I told some children that they must come and see him, the children who belong to some friends of mine. And so we went along to see my local Finsbury Park Empire, which was my religion, really, in those days, the musical. And, and when we got there, we found that Stan was ill, and so the performance was cancelled twice nightly, you know. And so I was very disappointed, but they came back there. And so I wrote to the Finsbury Park Empire, to them, and I said, you know, the kids were very disappointed. Could I please bring them to get an autograph from you at the stage door? By return of post, I got a handwritten letter from Stan Laurel at the Mayfair Hotel saying, "Dear Mr. Pemberton, it will be our pleasure to meet you and the children. Please bring them." So, we went to the performance and we loved it, and they did General Hospital, which was very funny. And after the first performance, we went to the stage door, and I had my autograph book ready, and the kids were there. And I said to the stage doorkeeper, "Excuse me, my name is Pemberton. Will you come in, please, sir?" he said. And I said, "Oh, right, thank you." So we were led through the stage door. We went into Stan Laurel's room, where Stan was standing there with Ollie and Mrs. Laurel and Mrs. Hardy. And there was a table laid out with sandwiches and cakes and our White's lemonade and Tizer for us.
Good grief.
The whole thing was done for us.
Well, there you are.
And I couldn't believe it. And there was little Stan, who still looked quite frail, and his hair was just a wisp of grey hair that had been dyed ginger. And we spent an hour and a quarter with them. Well, I was in my seventh heaven talking about the musical, all the people I knew and all the people he knew, and it was sheer heaven. Well, then, when that was over, I wrote to him and thanked him, and he wrote back again and said to me, "No, it was our pleasure to meet you." And we went away with the photographs and couldn't say as well. And then, some years later, I used to do a series of shows for old people, a film club, in which I showed their favourites from their time, like Laurel and Hardy and Chaplin and all those people. And while I was doing it, Oliver died. And so I wrote a letter to Stan in Hollywood, and I said, "I don't know if you remember me, but I... blah, blah. And could you send a little message? We are all terribly upset about what happened to Ollie." And he, by return of post, I got this most magical letter from him saying, "I remember you well, and the children." And he described them. And he said, "It was so kind of you to do that. And I'm glad you're doing this thing, and I'd like to send a message." And so this letter came, and I wrote back to him, and he said, "How many people do you have in your audience, in your club?" And I wrote back, and I said, "200. And he said, "Could you..." He wrote again, and he said, "Could you please send me..."